We are opening your August 3rd Committee on Rules. We're hoping that it will be one of the last meetings of the session. Not that I don't enjoy you all very much, but I think it would be good for us to move on to other things. I'm going to open a public hearing briefly on 3184. Mr. Conkling, Mr. Glad, 2 minutes of testimony each. Anybody else dying to testify on House Bill 3184? Thank you. All right. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Got to do it with class, you know.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name for the record is Gary Conkling. I represent the Northwest Regional Education Service District. Thank you for the opportunity to just make a brief note. I'm commenting on the House Bill 3184 B10 amendments, which identify the Northwest Regional ESD as a pilot education service district. In general, this is something that we would welcome. But I wanted to note for the record that in creating this pilot project, we eliminate the existing board of directors that have been elected to this ESD, and on their behalf, for purposes of a pilot project, I think they would have objection to that action. While, again, we're more than willing and probably even eager to participate in this pilot project, we would have some concerns about the fact that we undo a board of directors as part of a pilot project. So with that, thank you very much for allowing me to put that on the record.
Thank you. Your objections are so noted. Mr. Glad.
My name is Ed Glad, and I am representing Ed Glad only as a board member of the Willamette ESD. I am not representing the Carpenters Union, nor am I representing the board of the Willamette ESD. I, too, have issue with regards to Section 10, 11, and Section 14 with regards to the pilot project and the configuration of the new board, particularly in the sense that there is no stipulation as to how these elections would take place. So interested parties such as myself, who have been serving as an elected member of the ESD board, would have a very difficult time putting my best foot forward in areas where I personally come out of the American labor movement and am known in my community as the labor guy. And so in order for me to put my best foot forward to, first of all, my constituent district, let alone the three or four contiguous districts that would be lumped together, to present myself as a viable candidate and as a person of interest to be on that board would be a very difficult proposition, particularly if, in fact, recently there were labor negotiations with the various component school districts and their collective bargaining partners across the table. And so I caution against moving in this direction and suggest that this section of the amendments be dropped from the bill and that the other parts of pilot projects and go forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Glad.
Thank you. Anybody else? House Bill 3184. Ms. Hunt, would you come forward and walk us through the amendments? Sure. Senator Walker, did you want to touch base with us as well, briefly?
Yes, stuff together. So she says with a smile.
One
minute,
hold it over there.
Come on, come on.
Come
on.
These Dash 11s, Madam Chair, are hot off the press.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes. Senator Walker, Vicki Walker from State Senator, District Number 7, don't even know how to talk anymore. So I'll let Ms. Hunt take you through the amendments, and I'm here to help clarify what we came up with yesterday.
Okay.
Okay. I'm Cindy Hunt, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel. Briefly, the amendments do six things. First of all, the formula change for how education service districts receive their state school fund grant that was contained in the original HB 3184 be engrossed is delayed by a year. So it becomes operative in 06, 07 and beyond. That's the first thing it does. The second thing it does is that in 3184 be engrossed, there's a restriction on administrative expenses that an ESD would have, and they had to take half of their cost savings from their administrative expenses. That provision is eliminated in the amendments. The third thing is that it requires ESDs to develop a local service plan and specifies what's in the plan. This language was in Senate Bill 765A, which was the Education Service District bill, and it was lifted almost word for word from that bill. That also, the implementation of that is not until July 1 of 06. The fourth is entrepreneurial services and restrictions on those. The amendments are a combination of Senate Bill 765 and then the original House version of 3184 on that. It discusses, put some limitations on entrepreneurial services and that the ESDs offer. That also is not operative until July 1 of 06. And then the fifth thing that you've heard from some folks today is the pilot ESD project, which takes three education service districts and directs them for the next 4 years, starting July 1 of 06 to 2010, to have a different governance structure for their education service district board. And that governance structure is the one that was found in 765, which has a combination of elected ESD board members from school districts and appointed members. And then in 2010, their ESD boards are returned back to what they are now. And then finally, on the last page, is a section directing the Department of Education to conduct a study of redundant services that are offered by Department of Education, education service districts, and school districts to support classroom instruction and for the department to report back. And that's it in a nutshell.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt, we really appreciate all your hard work. I know that the parties just came to an agreement in a relatively short period of time, so know you've been working extremely hard to get this done. Senator Walker, could you just give us a little bit of background? We know that this is a product of a work group. Could you tell us who was in the work group and sort of what your thinking was?
Sure.
And I also just want to say thanks. I know that you and Senator Cruz on the Senate side worked very hard on this, and we really appreciate your efforts.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and we do appreciate your compliments because we did work very hard, and Senator Cruz rose to the occasion when I asked him to, and he just went above and beyond. So, as you know, I appointed him to a work group that involved a number of interested parties, and they met for several weeks and developed 765. It went over to the House. There were some current concerns expressed in the House about making this governance change to all ESDs and a couple of other issues. So we decided, why don't we just do it with a pilot project, because we do think there's value here. So yesterday, Senator Cruz and I walked over to the House, spent a great deal of time with Representative Dahlem and Representative Flores, and then we again met after 5 o'clock and hammered out this agreement. We're all of us are extremely pleased with our work. We take a little bit from each other's efforts, which is truly what's wonderful about this process when it does work, and it worked very well. So we have pieces from both chambers in here that everyone has agreed to, and I imagine there's some concern and discomfort with the three ESDs that are chosen for the pilot project, but I think we we'll see that with whoever has been chosen. But I think we need to move forward on that, Madam Chair. It's a 4-year pilot project, so it will, you'll have to come back and get that re-upped in 4 years. We'll also require the Department of Ed to come in and give us a report on that during the next 4 years. And I thought the nice touch added by Representative Flores was to review redundancies in the system so that we could try and eliminate those and get more money into the classroom.
Thank you. Any questions for either one of these two? Senator Ringo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 12 is where you talked about the entrepreneurial services, and it says the component, ESD may provide entrepreneurial services and facilities, and then it says if, and it lists three things. I assume that is only if all three of those are correct. Is that accurate?
Senator Ringo, that's correct. That's accurate.
And then on the sub C on that, it says the primary purpose of the services is to address a need of component school districts. How is that to be judged? I mean, could you explain what is meant by that, please?
Mr. Vice Chair, Senator Ringo, you would need to look at the definition of primary in the dictionary, which I can't recall, but it would ultimately be at the discretion of the ESD and then also their component school districts would have to, under the draft, actually approve their local service plan that the entrepreneurial services are being offered through. So it would be a combination of those bodies.
Okay, so in other words, that's an educational need of the component school districts, not a need simply in terms of, well, it's going to be generating more dollars, and that alone won't be considered satisfying a need of the component school districts.
Yeah. Senator Ringo, with the components of the local service plan, there's multiple components, and none of those components talk about generating money for the ESD. So the entrepreneurial services also have to meet what's in the local service plan. So.
Okay. But where it says the primary purpose is to address the need of the component school district, does that refer to an educational need?
Thank you. Madam Chair, Senator Ringo for the record, Senator Jeff Cruz, Senate District 1. One would assume so, but you know, our attempt here isn't to micromanage the agreement between the schools and the ESD, but that is their core function. What we tried to do to give flexibility in the entrepreneurial piece is, there, in some instances, some services that are being rendered to schools, especially in smaller communities in the eastern part of the state, and a city or another form of government would like to buy into those services, and they can do it so it's cheaper for them and also helps on economies of scale with the model that's in the school. We wanted to make sure those sorts of things could happen, but clearly the services need to be for schools first, and I think the bill's fairly direct and specific to that.
Okay. I mean, let's say there's accounting services or some sort of financial administration services that a school district is providing or an ESD is providing for a local business or a local government. That ESD wouldn't be able to carry out those activities. Those are entrepreneurial. They wouldn't be able to carry those out unless the primary purpose was to serve the component schools.
That's correct.
Okay.
And keep in mind the entrepreneurial activities do have to be approved by the schools within the ESD. So you know, their interest is what's going to come first.
Okay. Thank you.
And, Madam Chair and Senator Ringo, I'd like to add that one of the parts that we did preserve about that section is that these services must be provided pursuant to a business plan, which really needs to be out there, and we need to know what it is. And you'll also note that they have to provide an annual financial report to the component school districts so that they know what the ESD is doing with regard to those activities.
Well, I think it's good work. I'm glad you guys put this together. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you very much, Senator Cruz. We appreciate you joining us. We appreciate very much both of your work on this. I know you want to testify some more, but we would rather just move the bill.
I wouldn't
have even gotten to. Thank you. All right. Close the public hearing. Open a work session. Chair, move the dash B 11 amendments to House Bill 3184. Any discussion?
Discussion?
Sure.
Madam Chair, notwithstanding the testimony of Mr. Glad and some others that don't like the provisions of the bill, I wanted to express my appreciation for you bringing the bill back to committee to consider the issue of balance and fairness for the small five ESDs. And I'm glad to see that the work of Senator Cruz and Senator Walker and others on that committee were able to broaden that concept and that an agreement and an accommodation was possible. Wouldn't have been possible without your consideration of bringing the bill back to committee. Thank you.
Small world.
Thank you. You're welcome. And glad you needed that amendment, because otherwise I'm not sure we would have had a vehicle. So it worked out really well. All right. Any further discussion? Would you please call the roll, James?
Yes.
Senator Ringo?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Move the bill to Senate floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Any objection to the motion?
Okay.
So ordered. Senators Cruz and Walker, we would appreciate you co-carrying on the Senate floor. As long as you keep it short. Thank you. That's a good question. All right, let's go up to House Bill 2101. Oh, Ms. Harris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the bill?
Thanks, Madam Chair. House Bill 2101 creates the Oregon Homeland Security Department and makes it responsible essentially for coordinating private sector and governmental efforts to prepare for and respond to emergencies.
Anybody in the audience wishing to make some brief comments on the bill? Anybody on the committee has some concerns on the bill?
Madam Chair.
Senator Ringo.
Does this bill have a fiscal?
Yes, it does.
And what is that?
It is all non-general fund dollars. It is
$382,000, other funds.
Correct. It's national, I believe, Homeland Security dollars.
Federal money. It's a beautiful thing, Madam Chair.
Yes, I think so. Any other discussion? All right. Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor for the due pass recommendation. James, would you please call the roll?
Yes.
Senator Ringo?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. I'm going to let Senator Metzger carry this. Open a work session on 2792. Judge Lipscomb, did you want to come forward and tell us what this bill does in 2 minutes or less?
Excuse me. Thank you. I can do that in a good bit less than 2 minutes. The Chief Justice appointed me as chair just about a year ago of a state court security and emergency preparedness committee, and this bill is the outcome of our work to date. What this bill does is allow us to plan for and eventually implement security procedures for the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, and the State Court Administrator's Office for the first time. You folks are probably aware that we have local security at the local courts, but there's none at all at the appellate courts. It also allows some additional training at the trial court level. This is a good bill and a very necessary one. It passed the House 58-0. There's never been any organized opposition to this bill, and I'm available to answer any specific or general questions that any members of this committee might have.
Thank you, Judge Liskon. Fiscal, any fiscal?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Comes out of judicial branch.
$136,000.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Were you looking for help from me on the fiscal? Or?
No, we've got it. Thank you. Any questions for Judge Lipscomb? You're off the hook today.
Nice to see you.
It's always
thank you very
fun
much.
When we get to ask judges questions as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, Madam Chair.
I have a feeling you'll get your chance.
Did you want to grill the judge, Charlotte Senator?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
If it was, I would regret that.
You would regret that. I'm going to, Chair would move the bill to House Bill 2792 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? James, would you please call the roll?
Yes.
Senator Ringo?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ferriola?
Aye.
Chair Brown?
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. That's a good question.
You need a non-lawyer.
No, I was going to give it to Senator Ringo.
Oh, okay.
Senator Ringo, you'd like to carry?
Will that help him in court?
I don't think anything will help Senator Ringo in court. Okay. Senator Metzger is going to carry that one. All right. We're waiting for Senator Bates.
We already did 3184. 3108.
Without amendments.
He's on his way. Okay. We'll just hang for a minute. But
that was a pretty good cruise, wasn't it?
Thanks, James. We're in work session on House Bill 31. On 3108. I almost said the wrong bill number.
You're doing great.
Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Farrelly.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. There's only four things about the Section 9 I don't like, Madam Chairman. I just want to put them on the record.
Well, two sections to Section 9.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Okay, Senators Bates and Sarah Westland, if you want to participate, you may, but you either have to come up to the dais or join us in front.
Obstreperousness, Madam Chair, should not be tolerated in our committee. First, I believe that it advocates our legislative responsibility to oversee the implementation of a very important public policy. That for me is problematical because it essentially deputizes Department of Human Services to make critical decisions about who gets care and how much care they get. I think that creates, the second thing is I think that part creates some uncertain outcomes for people, and those are folks that depend on the Oregon Health Plan and other medical programs that are administered by the state. And ultimately, the buck should stop with the legislature. I also think that the potential to create a sort of a black box where people won't know, you know, they're going to be told they're covered or that the condition that they have is above the red line and that they're going to be getting medical care. And if there's a rationing system, it'll sort of be a black box. They won't get the care and they won't know why and they won't know who to talk to, and they'll pick up the telephone and call DHS, and that starts this communications cascade where they'll never get an answer. So I even though the department will do its level best, and I believe this is true, to make the process transparent, it will not be transparent or easily explainable to people, and side-by-side cases will have different outcomes. And that leads me to the fourth thing. I think the way the policies will be implemented, just because of the volume of work, they'll create different outcomes under the same fact set, and that to me sounds like arbitrary and capricious behaviors, and those are actionable. So I think, you know, letting this thing go the way it is with the option 9 in there creates some a high probability of litigation. So those are the four things I don't like. Otherwise, it builds a great bill. But those are the four things I just needed to put on the record. I believe that leaving Section 9, even though that may be required for fiscal reasons and maybe some political reasons, Madam Chair, I just don't think it's good policy.
Thank you, Senator Farrelly. Anyone else?
I would only say that I've had an epiphany in the last 10 minutes.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question? Did it hurt?
Look it up in the dictionary.
That's pretty dang good, Senator Farrelly.
Not really, if you know what an epiphany is.
All right.
If you want to know what it is, come and talk to me later.
All right. Thank you. We look forward to an intense and thorough discussion on the Senate floor on this issue, and I'm confident that the senator who's going to carry this bill will be able to respond to your concerns, Senator Farrelly, in depth. So, anything else? Would you please call the roll, James?
No.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. The joy of being in the minority. Who? All right. We will stop the arguing.
Madam Chair, I'd like you to have the hearing room cleared.
Senator Bates and Senator Westland will carry. Any further business to come before the committee? I think we're adjourned.